Welcome to The Average Shepherd. My name is Father Sam French, and today is Sunday in the 11th week of Ordinary Time, and the homily today is called God's Garage. We're reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, and a little bit of verse 10. Let's begin. When Jesus saw the crowds, he felt sorry for them because they were harassed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is rich, but the laborers are few, so ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest." He summoned his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits with power to cast them out and to cure all kinds of diseases and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who was to betray him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them as follows: "Do not turn your steps to pagan territory, and do not enter any Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. You received without charge. Give without charge." The Gospel of the Lord. You may have heard right at the beginning of today's gospel, Jesus felt sorry for the crowds. The gospel opens with this beautifully human description of Jesus. The English translation tells us that Jesus had compassion for the crowds, but in Greek the word is a bit different. It uses this evocative word, splunknidzomai. It's a bit of a mouthful, but splunknidzomai, which means that his viscera, his guts were moved when he saw the helplessness of the people. And it wasn't just the crowds, because that's exactly how St. Paul describes us in today's second reading to the Romans: helpless. And yet Jesus, in his infinite love, died for us while we were still sinners and had strayed from God. See, Jesus, far from being a distant savior, high and mighty, totally spiritual and beyond our reach, Jesus in his humanity is moved with pity, human pity, for our sufferings, our hopeless sinfulness, our very real struggles. But he refuses to allow us to remain in that state. And so to care for us, he gave us shepherds. He gave us the church. So we hear today, Jesus gathers the 12 apostles around him and he tells them, "Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I like to call this the first ever prayer for vocations. He's asking his disciples to pray for evangelists to go out into the world and to rescue the lost. As Christians, I think we probably hear this word a lot, evangelization. We hear it get thrown around a lot. But what does it actually mean? Well, it's another Greek word, and it simply means to spread the glad tidings. And it was a common expression in the ancient world that the people listening would have understood immediately, because whenever an emperor won a battle or achieved any kind of victory, he would send out these so-called evangelists to tell everyone about his recent win. So the early Christians were being intentionally controversial when they started to use this word evangelize, because it suggested that there was a new king, there was a new emperor in town, and his name was Jesus Christ. And he has won the ultimate victory, not over any kind of enemy army or a political opponent, but over sin, over darkness and strife. And he offers the world the good news, the promise of the eternal salvation of our souls. As God, Jesus could have done this differently. Jesus could have given these glad tidings himself. After his resurrection, he could have remained on earth in human form forever and personally delivered this good news to every human being throughout history. But he didn't. Jesus instead chose to involve others in his mission. And he did this by drawing the apostles to himself, as we heard in today's gospel, by building them up in their weakness, transforming them by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we heard at Pentecost, and laying upon them the foundation of the Catholic Church in the world. Jesus established the church to become the vehicle of the good news, to remain on earth forever as an eternally visible sign of his love and his plan for the salvation of our souls. And I think there is a deep humanity to God's plan for the church. Rather than just forcing salvation upon us from outside, independent of us, dragging us along, kicking and screaming, Jesus gives us the opportunity to freely cooperate in our salvation as members of his holy church. I think the best way to think about this cooperation is like a good father helping to repair his son's broken car. Now, the father might have the ability to swoop in, do it himself quickly and efficiently, and be done with it. But because he is a father, because he loves his son and desires the best for him, he chooses to involve his son in the process. Dad reveals to him the source of his car's brokenness. He teaches his son to recognize the problem that's going wrong in the engine, giving him the tools to repair it, guiding his hand as he cleans and puts it back together. See, in either case, the car's going to get repaired anyway, but by involving the son, their relationship is brought to life. And that's what Christ did. Christ took on human flesh not merely to fix our sinful state, but to enter into a life-giving relationship with us. If you allow me just to stretch that analogy out a bit further, you might say the church is like our soul's auto garage. It's the place where we come to encounter Jesus on earth in this relational way. The church is the place where we hear his word and we're taught by him, receiving guidance and instruction as our hearts are repaired. It's the place where we come and are washed clean and put back together in the sacrament of confession. We're refueled by the Eucharist. Our ignition is sparked by worship and prayer, and we're sent back out into the world to declare our transformation in Jesus and to tell others where to find him. We all know that our car, if it doesn't get serviced, it's eventually going to break down and die. I know I've got a book in a service because my oil light just turned on early this week. Well, likewise, the eternal life of our soul depends on God's word and the sacraments. We can avoid him all we like. And sometimes that feels convenient, it feels cost-effective, especially on our time, but it just hurts us in the end. Here in the church community, Jesus is waiting for us, week after week, desiring to enter into that relationship with us. But the question is, how do we personally respond to that invitation? In my short time as a priest, I've already heard, I think, every excuse under the sun about why someone can't make it to Mass on Sunday. Now, with the obvious exception of actual illness, I've heard all kinds of things. I've heard sport, travel, work, family, hobbies, tiredness, weather, God doesn't mind, which is wrong, by the way. And of course, there's literal car trouble, which I suppose can be forgiven sometimes. But rather than address these things one by one, I think it's more impactful for me just to compare our excuses to the story of Saint Anicia. See, Anicia lived in the year 300 in Macedonia. She was 15 when both of her parents died, and then she got from them a large inheritance, which she used extensively to help the poor and the hopeless throughout her city. Now, during this time in the 300s, the Emperor Diocletian ordered a savage persecution of Christians, basically forbidding Christians to worship under penalty of death. His idea was essentially that Christian worship was upsetting the local pagan gods and setting basically the city upside down. But knowing the importance for their eternal life of the soul, many Christians continued to celebrate the Mass in secret, knowing its importance, despite the threat that that had against their mortal bodies. Well, while Anicia was on her way to Mass one day, a city guard caught her and he demanded to know where she was going, but courageously she made the sign of the cross on her forehead and she boldly declared to his face, "I am a servant of Jesus Christ and I am going now to the Lord's assembly." Well, the guard wasn't having any of this, so he violently tried to force her with him to a pagan sacrifice instead, but she resisted and fought against him until in anger he drew his sword and he killed her in the street on her way to Mass. So when we hear stories like that, I think it puts our excuses into stark perspective. Well, what was going on here? Saint Anicia, she was filled with a supernatural faith. She understood the supernatural reality of the Mass offered by Christ Church and its importance for the vitality of her soul, her eternal life. She knew that faith was not just an abstract spiritual relationship with Jesus existing only in her mind, but a real and an embodied participation in a community of faith guaranteed by the authority and the power that Jesus gave to his apostles, as we heard in today's gospel. So, my brothers and sisters, you who are listening to this podcast, this is why we need the Catholic Church. This is why we need each other to make up the different parts of the body of Christ and support each other. This is why we should make every effort to be as involved as possible physically, financially, and socially in our parishes, because Christ has chosen us to be vehicles of the good news and garages of grace to each other. Finally, for this reason, we need to ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest, praying for more priests and deacons in the Diocese of Broken Bay to participate in the power and the authority of the apostles to bring Jesus to us in both word and in sacrament. So for that today, let us pray. Lord Jesus, who in your divine compassion are moved by our helplessness and our suffering, we humbly seek your mercy today. We're grateful for your profound love that doesn't just observe our struggles from afar, but generously gives us shepherds to guide us in your church. Strengthen us, Lord, to be faithful disciples, spreading the good news of your victory over sin and death. We ask you, Lord God of the harvest, to send laborers into your harvest, to be evangelists in a world that so desperately needs you. Strengthen us to respond generously to your grace and participate in our own salvation through the sacramental gifts of your Holy Church. We ask this in the holy name of your Son, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Anicia, pray for us. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to help me spread the word in this Average Shepherd podcast, you can do so by uploading it to social media or sharing it with anyone you think might benefit. Thank you, and God bless.